despite the weather, despite the rain, despite the heat, despite the humidity. But you're right. It's on the dawn of training camp for this year. So let's call this segment something and let's move on and let's live good lives and watch some football.
I cannot wait. And, you know, we are only a couple of weeks away before preseason football begins, and then we get college football as well. What are some of the feelings, Barry, ahead? And it doesn't even have to just be with the Browns. We're going to get into them in just a second. But the fact that NFL training camp is back, some people will say this is dead season in sports. I would beg to differ in that. But once we hit July, we know that we are in the same month as media days for college football and training camp beginning, and with rookies already reporting and the veterans reporting next week, I mean, we are so close to NFL and college football. What is the anticipation for yourself with this upcoming season?
Well, I think new faces in new places would be a good thing. Davante Adams with the Raiders, it's going to be interesting to see if he is still the elite receiver he was in Green Bay, and if he made a good decision there. I think his best opportunity to repeat or go to a Super Bowl was with Green Bay and not Oakland, although Oakland has improved. Another storyline I'm going to watch intently is that AFC West. I mean, they're just a bunch of bullies in a schoolyard, and they're all, none of them are friends, and they all beat up on each other and steal each other's lunch money. We're going to see, you know, who has the best lunch going forward. And all of those teams have improved. I saw a ranking from Las Vegas, and they had the Denver Broncos listed as the number 8 team of highest odds to go to the Super Bowl. Now, I think that's just what a turnaround for one team in the toughest division in football. Do you agree?
Yeah, I find it fascinating how good this division actually is, because and you even go down the line and you go not only with the AFC West, we know that that's a given, but the AFC North, the Bengals are there, but and depending on how things go, the Steelers may be, the Ravens are going to be, the Browns may be. You go to the AFC East, you've got the Patriots, the Bills, and the Dolphins, who are all going to be in the fight for the playoffs. I mean, the Jets are may surprise, but I feel like you've got at least three teams there. And then the AFC South, you've got at least the Titans, but the Colts are going to have something to argue with as well. I mean, Barry, I think you've got 10, 11, maybe even 12 teams that you could see legitimately making the playoffs out of the AFC. And I'm with you with the AFC West. It's remarkable to me because you could see Russell Wilson and the Broncos making the Super Bowl. You could also see a situation potentially where they lose maybe a couple of games by late field goals and they find themselves fourth in the division and missing the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And quarterback situations all across the league. You know, what's going to happen with Kyler Murray? Are the Cardinals kind of in a corner where they have to give him whatever he wants? Is he going to stay out? What's going to happen with Dak Prescott this year? Is he going to be completely healthy going forward? Look at the Saints and their situation. I'm not sure Jameis is the answer, but right now he is. And Jimmy Garoppolo, 2 days ago or yesterday, the 49ers gave him the green light to seek a trade for whatever team he wanted to go to, and which when a team does that, they are completely giving up on you, and they don't really know or care what they receive in return for you. You know, if the team is negotiating with agents from and GMs from different teams, then they can dictate if they're going to get a third round or a second round. But now it's like a fifth round in a bag of footballs for Jimmy Garoppolo, who they traded for him and thought he was the savior of the team. And then, of course, the Browns with their situation. The Browns today signed former first-round pick Josh Rosen to a one-year deal, which I think is very, very odd, because they got Jacoby Brissett to fill in for Watson while he is on suspension, and now they're bringing in Rosen. They brought in Josh Dobbs. They've got a rookie. Of course, he's camp fodder, but that's a big mess. And then, you know, what's going to happen with the Steelers this year? who is going to be their starting quarterback. Are they going to let Mason Rudolph finally take the reins? Or are they going to use their first draft pick with Kenny Pickens? And if so, at what point does Kenny Pickens right the ship? So quarterbacks all across the league. The Dolphins with Tua. Last year at the trade deadline, they had completely worked out a deal for Deshaun Watson, so they're truly not satisfied with his play and what's going to happen with him, and can he stay healthy?
Yeah, as you just said, I mean, there's questions all across the board. And even with the Steelers, I think the Mitch Trubisky could be a guy that they tab, and if he wins the job, I mean, it's crazy to think that there's, I don't know. Am I wrong to assume that not often are there quarterback battles in the NFL, Barry, where, you know, a guy's brought in and it's kind of assumed that he's got the job? Every now and then there's really a battle, but in college we see it all the time. But I mean, we have the battle in Carolina, obviously, with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. We've got the Pittsburgh battle, Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph there. We've got this Browns situation where, if Deshaun Watson is suspended for a long period of time, I mean, we don't know if it'll be Jacoby Brissett or Josh Rosen. And there's many other questions as well. I guess talking about the Josh Rosen signing a little bit more with that question, Barry, is if Deshaun Watson is suspended for however long, say he's suspended for 8 games or whatever, is there actually going to be a battle between Josh Rosen or Jacoby Brissett? Or do you think that Jacoby Brissett should be that guy given the way that he's played over the course of the last couple of seasons with the Indianapolis Colts, and he's got some of that experience where Josh Rosen, you know, the last time that we saw him really has been labeled as a complete underachiever and a bust.
Yeah, he's been a journeyman, that's for sure. He has bounced from team to team. He's been on a couple of teams' practice squads. He has been elevated to final rosters as the season. That's not an NFL-caliber starting quarterback, if you ask me. Jacoby Brissett is not an NFL-starting caliber quarterback. But here's the rub on that. The Browns are going to change their offense to fit Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield was a pocket passer. Watson is not. So you have to change certain terminology and certain schemes to accommodate a running quarterback versus a pocket passer. So if they brought in Deshaun Watson, his backup, if he is going to be suspended, his backup should be of the same athletic abilities and his type of offensive weaponry that he uses, which is running from the quarterback, running from the pocket and gaining yardage with his legs. Well, the backup to the backup is the same thing. They brought in Josh Dobbs, who is a running quarterback. So they had 3 quarterbacks last year that they got rid of all of them, brought in 3 brand new quarterbacks who are all similar. Well, Josh Rosen is not a running quarterback.
He
just isn't.
You're right.
So
yeah.
Here they're bringing in somebody who they've got, you know, a full house in the quarterback room anyway. They're bringing in Josh Rosen. I truly don't understand exactly what their mindset is, although he's a first, you know, former first round pick, but he's only had 16 starts in his NFL career. I mean, that's nothing. Jacoby Brissett has 37 starts. Both of those are minimal for you to go in and have this much talent on offense. Now that's on paper, mind you. And give it to a guy that's only got 24 NFL starts. Now, the timing is right because they're bringing him in right before training camp, let him learn the playbook, let him learn the terminology. Well, at least Jacoby Brissett has been in training camp since February, has gotten time to absorb the playbook. And, you know, it's a lot of memorization. It's a lot of work, and schemes are different, and terminologies. I remember when Dan Reeves coached the Denver Broncos and he went to the New York Football Giants. Well, everybody to the right of the center, all those gaps are even numbers. So it's the 3-back going through the 2-hole, which is between the center and the guard. Well, Dan Reeves, all his even numbers were to the opposite side. So if you're in a system since high school, and I'm in a system since high school, And we've always learned even numbers are to the right, even numbers to the right. And now you're going to a system where all odd numbers are to the right. It's completely backwards. It's completely different. And so bringing in a guy right at training camp time is just essential.
Well, yeah, I'm with you there. I think this is so interesting, Barry, with how much concern do you think is there within the Browns organization? It's not necessarily about, Deshaun. Obviously, they're concerned about Deshaun's suspension, but just the fact that this team is built to win now. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got, the tight ends. You've got a defense that is stout. You've got everything that you really need, according to many of the analysts, to go and make a run at a Super Bowl. The question is, you're going to go another year, potentially entire year, without a true quality starting quarterback. Is this a concern for the Browns? Not necessarily this year, but even long term. Like, you're going to eventually have to pay a lot of these guys, and you've already given so much money to Deshaun Watson. How much of a concern is this that they're built to win now, but they're not really going to be able to, given a possible suspension for an entire season with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, and that's a problem with a lot of teams. Look at the Rams last year. The Rams did the same thing. However, I will say that the Browns have quietly built through the draft like I believe that teams should. Of course, the Rams bought their team, and that's happened before back in the 70s. Yeah. Washington Redskins did the same thing. They're called the over-the-hill gang. But you're right. There are a lot of contracts that are coming up. Their right tackle, Jack Conklin, was signed for 3 years. This is his last year. Their strong safety, John Johnson, this is his last year. Kareem Hunt, this is his last year on a contract. Nick Chubb has one more year. You're right. All of these guys that have not been extended, all of them are going to come at one time, and for a team that is built to win and built to win now and drafted to win now, then you've got to, to have all the right pieces at the right time. And because next year, a lot of these guys, I would say there's probably going to be 8-9 guys that are either starters or backup that won't be on this team next year because they can't afford to pay them. And then yeah. Other guys that are coming up that are, it's kind of the trend now to a guy would sign a 4-year rookie deal, and after 2 years, if he's playing great, they extend him for 5 years. I don't understand that. That's their business. That's their money. They're the ones that are smart. We just get on the radio and talk about it. But
right,
you've got guys that are going to come up and need money and require money, and it's not subtle bumps. It's huge bumps. So you're right. All these contracts come up at the same time.
Yeah, and which is something the Bengals are going to have to deal with here in 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's the same sort of thing. But speaking of extensions, Kyler Murray getting that one. I don't know if you saw that, Barry. 5 years. It was, I believe, it was up to $230.5 million, is what Adam Schefter reported. So they've committed to Kyler Murray long term through 2028. The Cardinals may be right for this after hearing somebody else talk about this, because there's not many better options than Kyler Murray, especially with the way that your team is. But given that the guy has at one point not necessarily thrown a fit, but he's kind of done that where his agents released a statement, he's unfollowed the team on social media in a way, kind of acted, I guess, a little immature with just the way that he's kind of handled the situation. Should the Cardinals have felt comfortable signing him for as long of a deal with all that money as they did, or would you have maybe signed him for a couple of seasons and just kind of done that? Or obviously it's tough to deal with the quarterback in this way, but do you think this was the right decision for the Cardinals to do it?
Well, it's been clear that Murray has been unhappy with his contract since February, I guess, when he first, and at the time he deleted all his Cardinals references from all of his social media. I guess you'd call that immature. I don't know what else you'd put it.
Yeah.
Then his agent put out a lengthy statement that said that he had presented the Cardinals with a detailed extension proposal, and they went back and forth for months and with general manager Steve Keim, and he thought that Arizona and Murray would come to an agreement over the summer. Of course, that happened today. And this will keep the quarterback under contract with the Cardinals through the 2028 season. The deal is worth $20.5 million, which is $0.5 million more than Deshaun Watson's contract, although only $160 million of that is guaranteed, and the entirety of Deshaun's contract is guaranteed.
Right.
That will make Kyler Murray now the second highest annual value of a quarterback contract of $46.1 million, and that's behind the Chiefs quarterback. I think he's a stud if he can just stay healthy. And, of course, the squeaky wheel always gets the grease is my thinking.
How much of Kyler Murray's deal do you think goes into affecting Lamar Jackson's deal and potentially more quarterbacks down the line as we see these guys getting paid more and more and more money?
Well, if Lamar Jackson got this contract, I wouldn't blink an eye. I would say that he deserves it. I mean, we both are in the division where we know what Lamar is. We know that he is a game changer. We know that he can disrupt and win a game by himself, not only but you know with his arm. He is a better passer than a lot of people give him credit for. He may not be as accurate, but he can fling that ball and he can fling it far, but he wins games with his legs, and it doesn't really do much good to collapse a pocket on him. I think it's better if you kind of keep him in the pocket than to let him escape, because that's where he kills you. He's 17 yards downfield before anybody knows he's gone.
Right.
But if Lamar got this number, I wouldn't say a word. But here's what I just said a minute ago. I do not understand why NFL owners are signing five-year contracts with first-round picks. And after two, three seasons, Ezekiel Elliott started it. After two, three seasons, yes, they're great players. Yes, they're on top of their game. Yes, they're in the top five at the end of the season in their category in NFL stats. But you sign a contract for a reason, and you sign a rookie contract for a reason. Then when you only play 2 years and you're only a two-year player, now you got this guy that's played 9 years. He's your starting center. He's your starting left guard. He's been in the Pro Bowl four times, and he's been named All-Pro three times. Now he wants a raise because this guy got a raise. I've been here longer. I've accomplished stuff. I don't understand why they do it, but it seems to be the trend.
It really does. There's one more thing I want to get with you here, Barry. I've thought about this over the last couple of just days with things to bring up with you, and there's something that there's teams that have been talked about a lot this offseason. There's some teams that haven't been talked about as much, and there are teams that have, you know, been in contention. I mean, the Bengals are kind of an afterthought in the AFC. Everybody's picking the Bills or the Chiefs, even the Broncos. But the Bengals recently just made the Super Bowl, and not many people are even thinking of them. Are there any other teams that you've seen over the course of this offseason where, for some reason or another, you just think that they've been maybe disrespected or disregarded a little bit more than others?
Well, I think the Bills are going to be the cream of the crop. Although the Chiefs are going to be great, don't misunderstand me. I think the Bills are the best team in football, and that is both conferences. I think that the AFC is totally outshining the NFC. I can only think of a handful of teams. Maybe the Rams will be back, Tampa Bay, Green Bay. Other than that, who do you put at the top of the heap in the NFC? Whereas in the AFC, you could take, presumably, the Bills and the Patriots in one division. You could flip a coin and take three teams out of the AFC North or three teams out of the AFC West. And then it's going to be a crapshoot between the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. I think the Colts have probably been under the radar. The fact that they went 9-8 last year and kind of faltered. They got one of the best running backs in the game with Jonathan Taylor. They've now got maybe a good quarterback with Matty Ice. They've got one of the best offensive lines. The defense has improved. They've got the former Georgia kicker, Rodrigo, and he is a phenomenal. He is a 50-plus yard guy instead of having to go for it on fourth down. I think the Colts are going to be a lot better, and but they're going to be neck and neck with Tennessee. And then over in the NFC, I really don't know. Arizona maybe. You know, Arizona started, what, 11-0, 10-0 last year before they fell on their face. People keep talking about the 49ers are going to be better. You know, if they've got a second-year quarterback now going in, their defense is really, really good.
Yeah.
So I'd say the 49ers, and then the NFC East, I don't know if there's going to be any good teams involved in there. Everybody keeps pointing to the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, one year the Cowboys would go 12-5 like they did last year, and the next year they'll go 8-9.
Yeah.
So it's there's no telling with that. I think that'll come down to the Eagles and the Cowboys. But if I was to give a team, I would say the 49ers and the Indianapolis Colts are probably going to be the ones that nobody's talking about and who are probably going to be good teams this year.
Again, speaking with Barry Shuck of Dogs by Nature, do you have an idiom for us today, Barry?
I do. And I want to speak real quick about two things. One is the Mobile team. The Mobile team is called the Alabama Airborne in Major League Football, which they're going to start August the 9th. They have four games scheduled for the Mobile team. They're coached by former NFL quarterback Jerry Glanville, who coached the Falcons for a long time. They've got a game at August the 9th at 6 o'clock our time against Ohio, which is at Canton, Ohio, and they're going to play at Ladd People Stadium. That league, they're only going to play four games each. I don't understand that, but that's their league, and that's I think it's like a test season next year. I did an interview with their CEO, and he told me that they were going to start with four teams and might go to six or eight teams next year. They've got 12 teams trademarked for different, like they've got one called, and all of them are named after states. So when they say Alabama Airborne, that could have been Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville, and they decided on Mobile instead. There's a team in Utah. There's one in Florida. I think it's called the Fusion. They're not sure where that's going to be. That could be Orlando. That could be West Palm Beach. Who knows? But that team starts at Ladd People Stadium August the 9th at 6 o'clock. Now, another oddity is those games are either on Tuesday or Wednesday nights. I'm not sure what the deal is about that. I can't explain that. Another thing is the NFL Europe has completely sold out of all their regular season game in Germany. They had 750,000 calls
wow.
in the first hour, in the first day, asking for those tickets. That's Tampa versus Seattle in Germany at in Munich. It's a soccer stadium, and that'll be rocking. So I thought that was kind of strange. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I gave you shotgun, and I told you I was going to give you pistol, and I forgot about it, so I'm going to give you pistol this week.
Okay.
Now, shotgun is when a quarterback stands 7 yards deep, and the reason for that is if you got a defensive line that the offensive line can't handle, this gives the quarterback time to survey the field a little quicker than as he's dropping back. Well, the pistol is only half of that. And he stands 4 yards in the backfield. This was the invention of the aforementioned Jerry Glanville when he was head coach of the Atlanta Falcons in 1990. The name came about because the formation was shorter than the shotgun, and Glanville linked the name because of the firearms category. The pistol is designed for a running quarterback system, and that's where the name pistol came from.
I like it. That's fantastic. It's always cool. Again, I find it phenomenal that you know so much history about this, and there's so many little things that you can find out about the game that we love so much. And you know, time and time again, we learn more about it. I just looked up the Alabama Airborne's logo, by the way, or helmet. I like it.
Yeah.
I might have to see if I can make it out to a game or two this year.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. But you know, going up on a Tuesday night, I'm just not sure what the thinking is on something like that. I mean, why would they do that?
Well,
I remember the World.
Are they on TV?
Anyway, when I did my interview with him, he said they were working on some partners.
Okay.
But I do not know the answer to that. I really don't. They've got a website. It's MLFB for MajorLeagueFootball.com, and they show they don't have rosters up, but they had the league's training camp was in Mobile. It was at Ladd Peoples. They are all league-owned teams. There's a team in Virginia Beach, a team in Little Rock, and a team in Canton. They want to be in medium-sized facilities. I was surprised they didn't go to USA's stadium, which holds 25,000, Ladd Peoples holds 44,000. Maybe the lease option, maybe USA didn't want them there. Maybe it conflicted with soccer or baseball. I don't know. But that's they're going to have four teams this year. It's they are publicly traded, so you can buy stock in this league.
Oh, wow.
And it's the first and only sports league ever that is publicly traded.
I might look into that just to see what their stock price is. Well, again, speaking with Barry Shuck of Dogs by Nature, Barry, a pleasure as always. Look forward to our conversations as we go through the football season. Can't wait. More pro football scope here soon. Thank you so much, Barry. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, my friend.